And so, what we would ask him is the following. Very Holy Father, you are claiming to be the successor of Peter, and you are the successor of Peter. Please show yourself to be the successor of Peter. The day of Pentecost, Peter preached to the Jews who gathered around the synagogue when they heard the wind and the storm and saw what all the events and when the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles. And Peter gave them a wonderful sermon, a very strong sermon, and at the end they asked, brethren, what can we do? What must we do to be saved? And Peter said, 3 points. You have to do penance, repent your sins, first point. Second point, you have to be baptized. Third point, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, penance and repentance, the faith in Jesus Christ and in his divinity, and baptism. And I'm sure if the Pope in such ecumenical meetings like Assisi would tell all these people of idolatry, my dear friends, if you want to be saved, three conditions, please. Three conditions. Repent your sins, believe in Jesus Christ, and be baptized. I think that these ecumenical meetings would come to a very quick stop. Very quick end. Now, let's go back to Peter. You remember that after King Herod had beheaded John the Baptist, he also killed James, the first of the apostles, the martyr, and he also put Peter to prison and wanted also to assassinate him. And what is reported to us in the Acts of the Apostles, the whole church prayed for him. The whole church prayed for him. And so Peter was delivered by an angel in the night. It seems to me that the present pope, or these conciliar popes, including the present popes, the pope, they are like in a spiritual prison. In this prison of the conciliar ideology. And so the whole church has to pray for him unceasingly in order that he might be delivered by an angel. I do not know who would be this angel, but I'm sure that God would send one. You do not expect that this pope would be the great pope of reform which the church needs so badly. Why not? Because, first of all, he's filled up with the conciliar ideas. Secondly, because he's not a man of strong leader, a man of government, he's more a man of arts, a man of culture, very cultivated, very delicate, but he's not this tough leader which we would need. Third point, because there is a lot of opposition, even if supposed that he would want to make a true reform, there would be a lot of opposition. And fourth point, because if you want to make a true reform in the church, you need the people. You need holy cardinals, bishops, well-trained theologians, great theologians, but where are they, these the great and holy men? I don't see them. I think we can expect two things of the present pope, nevertheless. First point, that he makes something, that he will do something concerning the liturgy. It is clear that in all his writings, even before becoming pope, he shown himself to be very unhappy about the present state of the liturgy. And he made understand that he would like to make some reforms in the good sense, in the right sense. We do not know when he makes something, when he does something, and what he does finally. There are rumors going around saying that he would be ready to give free the old mass for the celebration. One part is saying for everybody, others say just for the private celebration. We do not know exactly. But there are certainly plans talks in Rome about this subject. This was a main subject the 13th of February among the heads of the dicasteries in Rome. This was a main subject the 23rd of March in the gathering with the cardinals. That's the first point. Certainly the Pope will do finally something for the liturgy. Second point, we could expect of him the one or the other good appointment, even perhaps among bad appointments. I would say that the appointment of Cardinal Levada from San Francisco to be the head of the Congregation of Faith is of the second category. So the Pope needs a lot of prayer, because the whole welfare of the Church depends mainly on him. But it depends also on each one of us, our sanctity, our holiness, our striving for Christian perfection. Why are we going to Rome? Why are we talking with these cardinals and people in Rome? Because we are missionaries. Because we want to convert them. Because we want to bring them back to tradition. And these talks bear certain fruits. Bishop Flair had a long talk with Cardinal Castillo Hoyos the 15th of November 2005 in Rome. And just before this talk, Cardinal Castillo Hoyos, in an interview with Trenta Johnny, 30 days, said that the consecration of the bishops done by Archbishop Lefebvre does not constitute a formal schisma. But we always knew this, but it is nice to hear this from the mouth of a cardinal. Also, he said in another interview that the Society of St. Pius X is not out of the Church. Well, if it is not out of the Church, it is in the Church. Once again, we always knew this, that we are not out of the Church, but it's nice to hear this from the mouth of a cardinal. So, we are not out of the Church. We are not excommunicated. And the episcopal consecration are not a formal schisma. That's important. Conclusion. We are not just working for the bringing back of the old Mass. This is an important point, but it is not the total point. We are working to bring back the whole Church. That is our intention. And according to our possibilities, means, and our framer, which is very weak, we are working for the restoration of a little Christianity. With families, with schools, its convents, monasteries, seminaries, parishes, and even, well, if it would be possible, with Catholic states. I say if it would be possible. We know very well that concrete circumstances, it might not be possible. But nevertheless, that is our desire. That would be the ideal. We must, at any price, any cost, maintain the spirit of the Church. The spirit of the Church. The sentire come ecclesia. I mentioned Pope Gregory the Seventh, Holy Gregory the Seventh, in my talk, who fought against the German Emperor Henry the Fourth. Now, the point was the following. Henry IV wanted to establish himself, to institute himself the bishops and the abbots in his kingdom, in his empire. And the Pope said, that's not right. That is the task of the Church, not of the Emperor. And so, since he continued, the Pope excommunicated him. And so he went to Italy, and he met the Pope in Canossa asking pardon for his sin. And the Pope absolved him and gave him communion the day afterwards. stone, readmitted him in the community of the church. Henry IV went back to Germany and fought back in his fault, and the Pope excommunicated him a second time. And this time he went to Italy with an army and drove out the Pope from Rome. He had to go to exile to Salerno, and there he died. He did not see the fruit of his labors, of his sufferings, of his prayers, of his good intentions. He did not see the fruits, but they came after his death. And so he died with these words on his lips, "I have loved justice, and I have hated unjustness. That is why I die in exile." Thank you very much. Now I would be quite ready to answer the one or the other question, if there are. Perhaps there are no questions at all. Please, Father. Well, according to what we heard, you see, there are a lot of rumors, especially by this terrible thing, internet. Everywhere, everybody speaks, everybody gives his opinion, and everybody thinks something, and it is taken as reality. But what we heard, and what seems to a certain extent founded, is the following, that the Pope has the intention to make work out a document which says that the old Mass never was forbidden. If he does this, that would be an enormous progress. And there are cardinals in Rome who hold to this position. For example, Medina Esteves, he told me this personally twice, that he holds to this position, even published it in an interview. He was, in other days, he was of the opposite opinion. Now he changed according to his status. And so he was the former prefect of the Congregation of Worship. And so he is a very competent, he's a competent person. And so it might happen that the Pope himself, that the Pope so publishes or may publish a document saying that the old Mass never was forbidden. And this is also the result of a consultation of a commission of cardinals in 1986. There were 9 cardinals questioned by Pope John Paul II. 2 questions. First question, is the old Mass abrogated? And 8 of these 9 cardinals answered no. Among these cardinals, there was Cardinal Ratzinger. Second question was, can every priest celebrate the old Mass? And all the 9 cardinals answered yes. So he can refer to Quo Primum, that's true, absolutely true. He can refer to this commission of the cardinals. So, but you always must realize that the Pope has to consider what is possible and what is not possible. There is actually, it is said in an article, once again in the terrible internet, there's said in an article, but which is quite reliable, it seems, that in the meeting with the cardinals, the 23rd of March, there was an overwhelming majority who was against giving free the Mass for a general celebration. Overwhelming. Also, I'm absolutely sure that the bishop conferences are very much opposed to this. At least certain bishop conferences. And so, well, the Pope certainly has always to consider the whole church, and he does not certainly want that there is a schism. But, well, things are delicate. You must admit that things are delicate. I agree completely that he could do this. There's no question that he could celebrate till today. In Europe it is still in the morning, isn't it? He could still celebrate today the old mass. It's a delicate matter. So I agree in principle, but in the concrete acting you have to consider all the circumstances.
Now, what's his position with respect to this idea of a reform of a reform? Has he abandoned that, or is he still sticking to that?
Oh no, I think he still holds to this. He made it clear in a letter which he wrote in 2003, exactly 3 years ago, to one of our friends in Germany, whom he knew that he's a very close friend to us, and he's a professor of university, very cultivated man who wrote a lot of books and articles, and then Cardinal Ratzinger wrote a letter to him, and I have this letter, and he says, well, reflecting about the whole situation of the liturgy, I realize that on the long term it is impossible to have two rites in the church. So there have to be one rite. And then he says, what has to be this rite? What should be this rite about? He says, it would be mainly the old rite with certain changes. And that's exactly the reform of the reform. So, he says, well, there could be used the new prefaces, which are old prefaces, which are very dogmatical and very, very good. There could be the new feast of the saints, at least some. There could be new lectures brought in, not too much. There could be the universal prayers, prayers of the faithful, wedding prayers, and then he says, and this could be celebrated in Latin or in the Manichaean language. That is what he expressed in this letter. So I think this letter is expressing exactly what is his thought.
So can we conclude then that if he preached the traditional mass, that would be in his mind like an immediate step towards this reform or whatever regular attention, so to speak, of the liturgy or something like that, but not the main aim?
That might be. You might be right. It's quite possible. But you always must have in mind that the present Pope is unfortunately a disciple of Hegel. So he has always this dialectical spirit. It's unfortunate, but it's like this. He has always thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Always. And so he would see, if he recognizes our situation, it certainly would be just also an element in this thought. You have the modernists, you have a completely destroyed church. Well, you have to bring now a stabilizing element. This could be this tradition, the society's entire tense, and this brings a new set of synthesis. So, it's always in this sense. So, it's quite possible that you are right, I do not know, but, you know, men are taking means, and sometimes they are overthrown by God himself. So it might be that if he gives free the mass, I think this gets such a movement with such a strength, not immediately, but step by step, that he cannot any longer suppress this afterwards.
Could you agree or not that we very obstacle for any of this form of is the collegiality the cardinals and the archbishops of the various districts around the world, they would be very reluctant now to give up their power. They're like, it's like a fiefdom, a chief sovereign area. And you, as you know, just quite one country in America, you have to get permission. A priest has to get permission to celebrate any traditional mass. I personally, I feel that this community not being each summer involved, and unless there's a crowd of cardinals die off or out of time, there's no influence coming in Washington way. I'm sorry.
I would agree to you, not only 100%, but 200%. Yeah, it's very true, very true. This collegiality makes the church ungovernable. Ungovernable.
That would stop you both from doing any advocacy.
But it is like this. What do you want? The Pope, well, he finds the situation like this, and he contributed that they find the situation like this, and he has contributed a lot to the Second Vatican Council, and which from where all these things come. So now he has to eat out the soup which he has prepared himself. That's true. It's now the. You see, well, although these people in big part they have, they consider the council to be their world, their baby, and they would not give it away. They would not give it away. So I think we have also be prepared to a certain time of patience and continuing our fight, because I think that in a certain way this whole generation of bishops and cardinals of the council must die out. It is clear that the new generation of priests who are, is coming now forth are on the one side very badly trained, dogmatically, spiritually, very badly trained, but they are open. They are, have not these prejudges against the old mass and against us. And so you can work with them. You must form them. It's true. And they ask sometimes, and it's difficult. It's a difficult task if you take already ordained priests to train them. But well, that's the situation which we found. Which we find, you know. Please.
That's not different. Council, the original schema that were tossed in the rubbish bin
yes.
At the first session.
Yes.
Is there any plan to publish these original schema in the sort of popular languages like English and French and German? So it seems to me it would be very interesting to see what was the original proposal and what the intended end up with.
Yes. I think that would be a very reasonable thing, in fact, yes, to publish them. I think I agree with you. That would be very reasonable to publish these schemas. The only schema which was maintained was the schema about the liturgy. The only schema. All the others were rejected. Please.
Speaking for myself, if not for everybody else, I'd like to say that I regard the Society of St. Pius as the strength of the Catholic Church and the hope of the Catholic Church. Without, in my opinion, without the Society, certainly without the Archbishop, without the Society, if humanly speaking, it's hard to see that there would be a Catholic Church existing throughout the world. I certainly have the greatest admiration for all of the Society of Priests. One thing that does give me some concern, however, and it's not about society, but I gather that only about 1 million traditional Catholics around the world, this is what the internet, my research on the internet says. What I'm wondering is, do you have a comment which might give us some stage? Is it growing now? Or are we just leave traditional fabrics just basically holding the talk until some miracle happens whereby these things that you're talking about the fabrics may do might in fact eventuate? Is there any comment?
Yes. First of all, concerning the growth of our groups and our movement, if you want to, like this, I think that our communities, in generally speaking, are growing, but are not growing very quickly. They are growing constantly, generally speaking, in average, but they are not growing in spectacularly. They are growing slowly, and so first point. Second point, I think that the number is not the determining factor. That's more our position, the position to the truth, to the faith. We have the whole tradition behind us. We always go to Rome and say, what are you saying? Please, the former Pope Pius IX has contemporaneous liberty. How can the Second Vatican Council declare it? There's a contradiction. How will we make clear it? Who is right? And one theologian told us, your strength is that you put the right questions. You put the right questions. That's the question. That's the point. Also, you must see that our movement is growing. I already told it, it's not spectacularly growing, but it's growing nevertheless, whereas the so-called conciliar church is going down, and terribly going down, and everywhere, and continues. Now there's a whole discussion involved in Rome with theologians and cardinals and so on concerning the condoms. Concerning the condoms, and there is a whole branch of personalities even in Rome who are in favor for the condoms. And I don't know if you heard about the interview or the article of Cardinal Martini, who was one of the candidates in the conclave, who said that he is in favor of the condoms, and that he for the contraceptives and even for abortion. Come. So, things are very, very much in a very bad state. And if the Pope himself, I think in moral things, is still strong and firm, at least I think so, but if he's such a situation, well, he must take position. Necessarily, he must condemn this. And, he must have people who support him then. He needs people who support him. I would say that the whole movement of tradition is such that it can no longer be avoided. It cannot no longer be avoided by whosoever is the Pope. We are the backbone of the Church in a certain way. It's not because we are we, because it's like this, because we are the representatives of tradition. Because we have maintained the integral teaching of the Church, the true cult of the Church, because we have tried to have a prayer life, because we are trying to restore Christian institutions, seminaries, and so on. But look, one of our priests, or some of our priests in Europe, had discussions with a Roman theologian. And this Roman theologian, he admitted that John Paul II had taught false on the question of the grace. That he has taught that grace cannot be lost. Sanctifying grace cannot be lost. Because he said it's a little bit more complicated. I simplify a little bit things. But he, in reality, said, John Paul II said, these other Christians, the Lutheran and so on, they once they have received baptism, they are united with us in an unsolvable unity. But this means that they cannot lose grace, sanctifying grace, by anything. So that's a wrong, that's a conclusion, that's a wrong statement. And this theologian said, yes, this was wrong, and this has to be corrected. And his conclusion was, I would wish that you have more influence in Rome. That was his conclusion. So you see, what I mean, if I quote this, that we put the right questions. That's our strength. Our strength is not the number. Our strength is our faith.
A few years back, about 250 French priests signed an anonymous petition for the restoration of the old monks. Would it be fair to assume that there could be a boiling anagram movement in our countries as well as in France, and if there is a freeing of the monks, there could be a crossing the border of a large number of young priests or priests in different countries?
Now, I will give you a very concrete answer to this. There is a book which you find on the bookstore here, on the book table, called Priest, Where's Your Mass? Mass, Where's Your Priest? And this book was sent out by our confreres in the United States to the whole clergy. So they were sent out 45,000 copies, free. And there was added a little sheet where they could order a videotape which shows how to celebrate the old mass. Once again, this was a free order if they wanted. And there were 400 copies ordered. So, I suppose that those priests who ordered this videotape were really interested to celebrate the old mass and to learn how to celebrate it. Perhaps not all do, but I also